There was a story in the news recently about a couple of men who rescued a wolf in a frozen pond.
So they took this wolf and tried to resuscitate it, and they took it to the vet. And the reason why they rescued this wolf, these two men later said, they thought it was a dog. But the vet said, "Have you lost your last mind?"
We know what wolves can do, and worry can be a lot like a wolf. When you least expect, it can devour you.
And most of the things we worry on, in some form or fashion, are all linked and connected to money.
Welcome to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp. Here, we hope you'll find answers to some of life's everyday struggles. You can learn more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.com. We worry an awful lot about money. And this week, Charles Tapp continues his series, God vs. Money, A Battle for the Heart, to help you discover how to find peace and satisfaction with what you have and to learn to trust God more fully to meet your needs. With part two, The Wolves of Worry.
Several years ago, while pastoring in New York City, I came across a story that I found quite interesting. It was the story of one of the largest diamonds ever to be found on the continent of Africa. It was found by a little boy while playing in a brook one day, and he just thought it was a rock, this pretty shiny rock. So he decided to take it home, and he placed it on the shelf where he had all of his toy soldiers. As fate would have it, a tradesman came by one day trading his wares, and when he came upon the little boy's mother, he asked, "Can I trade for that rock on the shelf?" And she said, "Well, that's not my rock. You'll have to ask my son what he wants for it." So she went and got her little boy, and he came, and the tradesman said, "Little boy, what can I give you for that rock?" Little boy pondered and he thought about it for a moment. He said, "Well, can you give me enough money to buy some more toy soldiers that I can add to my collection on my shelf?" You see, he thought that this diamond was just a little rock. And the little boy got exactly what he expected. And so did this trader. For he came there a mere pauper and he left one of the richest men who ever found a diamond in the continent of Africa. I tell you the story, even though I may have shared it before in different contexts. I'm telling it to you today because here's the question that I have for us today as the people of God. Why is it that we place so much value in things like rocks and place so little value in the things that truly do matter? Today, we begin part two of our series, God versus Money, A Battle for the Heart. And if I had to articulate what this message is really all about, yea, even what this series is all about, I would have to go back to the passage that we looked at a couple of weeks ago in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to verse 24. And we're going to take a look at it from the New King James Version. Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is," Jesus says, "there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, it is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, if your eye is divided, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Verse 24. Then Jesus makes this statement. "No one can serve two masters, for either He will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and money. Now, here's what I see Jesus saying here. Here's what I hear him saying. And that is simply this, that if you and I truly want to be disciples, and please, it's time for us to make up our mind, church. Do we want to be disciples, or do we just want to be members of a congregation? For there is a huge difference. Just because your name is on the roll and been here for some 40, 50 years doesn't mean you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. What it does mean is simply that you have ascribed to a certain group of beliefs and you follow and you keep those beliefs. But a disciple is a person who places him or herself under the leadership of Christ. And Jesus wants to know today that if we truly want to be that kind of disciple, this genuine and sincere child of God, one who's allowing the kingdom of God to truly have dominion over our lives, thereby granting our Creator the place that He desires and deserves to have in our hearts, we're going to have to come to grips with this one thing, that the thing the world places value in, places such an inordinate value in and on, are not the things that God in His kingdom places value in. Not only does God not value the things that the world values, but Jesus gives us reasons why God doesn't place any stock, God doesn't place any value in these things, and He gives us three reasons why you and I don't need to place value, inordinate value, in them as well. First of all, He says, moth can come and destroy many of the things that you and I place value in. You look on Madison Avenue, one of the biggest things there is the clothing industry. $1 billion industry on clothes, something that moth can inhabit and can ultimately destroy. He says, those things you should not place value in, nor place value in things that can rust. And then He says, don't place value in things that people can take. Because there are many people in this world who have no regard for the eighth commandment. You know what the eighth commandment says, don't you? It is the injunction that God gives us not to steal. And by not stealing, it simply means respect what does not belong to you. Keep your hands off of the things that don't belong to you. Don't claim those things for yourselves. I'm sure all of us have had somebody at some time in our lives take something that belonged to us, something that we worked hard for. Doesn't that just make you mad? So Jesus says, why would you put value? Why would you place your heart, your devotion on those kinds of things, things that can be here one day and gone the same? He says, don't try to divide your heart, because if you're going to have allegiance to God, it is impossible for you to give allegiance to the things of this world, especially money. And the thing that ultimately is divided is our heart. Now, I'm not here to preach against money. Jesus Himself never preached against money. Money is a good thing. Can the church say amen? Amen. That was the weakest amen I've ever heard. You don't believe money is a good thing?
Amen.
I guess you don't want it. Money's a good servant. We can do a lot of good things with money. As a church, we're always talking about, man, if we just had more money, look at what we could do in this area. Look at what we can do in that area. And I'm sure even in your own homes, you've said the same thing. Well, if we just had a little bit more money, we could finally get our roof repaired. If we had a little bit more money, we could finally get a new car. Or like me, you could finally get your car fixed. Took my car in the other day to get some struts replaced. You know what struts are, don't you? You know what shocks are in a car? Same thing. Keeps the car from doing this when you stop. Took it in. I thought, well, you know, it's a pair of struts. I've got a little small car, little Toyota Camry with a dent in the right side. Shouldn't cost all that much. $1,500 for struts. Then the mechanic had the audacity to tell me, you need brakes too. I said, not today. No, sir. But money is a good thing. It is a servant. But here's the thing. Money makes a terrible master. And the point that Jesus is making here is that who or whatever has our heart ultimately becomes our master. And if that's the master, what does that make you and me? The slave. That's why Paul tells Timothy the love of money is the root of what? All kinds of evil. Now, I decided to take a look at that verse, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, in the Amplified Version. If you've never read the Amplified Version, take your phone or your iPad, go to Bible Gateway and look it up. Let's take a look at this. 1 Timothy 6, look at what it says. For the love of what? Money. That is the greedy desire for it and the willingness to gain it unethically is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves through and through with many sorrows. Mercy. The issue is not about money or the amount of money we have. The issue that Jesus wants us to come to grips with is our attitude when it comes to money. For it's about how we get the money that we have. Then secondly, we've got to deal with the question, why do we want more money? And thirdly, it's about how we use the money that we finally get. And listen, make no mistake about it. Whether we are truly disciples of Jesus is revealed, it is ultimately brought to the surface by our attitudes toward this thing called money. Don't you know Jesus talked about money more than anything else in Scripture? And in no better way is our attitude toward money more honestly revealed than the ability that it has to cause many of us to worry ourselves to death. And look at what Jesus continues to say in Matthew 6, looking at verses 25 to verse 30. He says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is life, it's not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds. I imagine when Jesus is talking, he probably saw a flock of birds just go past. He said, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Listen, yet your heavenly Father does what? He feeds them. In other words, he provides for them. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of what? More value than they? Verse 27, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Haven't you ever wanted to be taller? Some of you are not being completely honest. I am 5'10". I thank God for every inch of that 5'10", because for the longest time, growing up as a young person, I was like always either the shortest kid in class or next to the shortest kid in class. And I remember one day I wanted to be tall, so I could look straight at people instead of looking down at them. And so I went into my mother's bathroom and I took some of her toilet paper and I made this big wad of toilet paper and I stuck it in both shoes. And man, at the beginning of the, why are you laughing? Do you know where this story is going to end? At the beginning of the day, I'm now taller. I'm just walking around. What's happening? How you doing? By the end of the day, I was back down to here. Jesus says, why are you worried about things you have no control over. Be content. And I'm content. I'm 5'10", and I'm not going to get any taller. Amen? You shouldn't have said amen to that. Let's go back to our passage here. So why do you worry about clothing, Jesus says? Consider what? The lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither do what? Toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Verse 30, Jesus now concludes the first part of his argument here. He says, now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, here it is, will he not much more clothe you? And then Jesus drops the mic. He says, oh, you of little faith. In other words, Jesus is getting to the heart of the issue.
You're listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, The Wolves of Worry. And if you're enjoying this message or you'd like to find others like it, you can find out more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.com.
Find solace and community when we pray.
Two students from my school were on the plane that collided with the helicopter.
Join us for a night of prayer and encouragement for the families and communities affected by the recent tragedy near Reagan National Airport.
Tonight, from 6 to 8 p.m. at New Life La Plata.
With special guest Matt Maher.
Father, let your kingdom come.
No ticket is required, but please RSVP at WGTS919.com.
This is Simple Truths for Life, and this week, Charles Tapp helps you discover how to find peace and satisfaction with what you have and to learn to trust God more fully to meet your needs. As he concludes his message, The Wolves of Worry.
Will he not much more clothe you? And then Jesus drops the mic. He says, oh, you of little faith. In other words, Jesus is getting to the heart of the issue. At first glance, you would think that Jesus is no longer talking about money, that he has changed directions, but that's not so. He has not changed the topic. In verses 25 and onward, he is now expanding money and how we as believers should view it and how many of us don't. Think about it for a moment. What truly makes money valuable? It surely is not the paper that the money is printed on. But what makes money so valuable to us is the impact, the effect that it can have on our lives. The ability to provide the necessities that Jesus talked about. Being able to provide food and clothing and all the rest. Please don't miss this. The problem that Jesus has here is not so much about what we eat and what we wear today, but it's how we view what we will need to eat and what we will need to wear tomorrow, next month, or even next year. Worry then becomes a factor not with what we have today. How many of you are worried about today? You're not worried about today. What are you worried about? You're worried about tomorrow. So true worry comes into play, not with the issues of today, but is looking into the future, wondering what's going to happen tomorrow. If I'm going to have enough to eat tomorrow, if I'm going to have the clothing that I need, if I'm going to be able to pay the bills that I need to pay. And this is the issue that Jesus addresses here. It is that his followers don't trust him enough to supply even their most basic of needs. And when you and I as believers place an inordinate amount of concern or worry over these things, we are sending an extremely powerful message to God that he doesn't love us and he can't care for us. This word worry that Jesus uses here is an interesting word. It means to be pulled literally apart. It means to be pulled in more than one direction. direction. It means then that there is a division taking place in your life. And the division that Jesus is talking about here is the division of our hearts. Jesus is saying, if you're going to value money more than you should, you cannot have the value for God that you need to have. So your life is always going to be a pull and tug. Money, God. God, money. Which one is it going to be? But you won't be able, Jesus says, to serve both. For you cannot serve God and money. For there's only room for one king on the throne of our hearts, and Jesus says it is God. That's why I asked the question at the beginning, are you really a disciple? Is that what you really want to be? Because we can't be disciples with divided hearts. Disciple means I'm willing to pay the price to follow Jesus. As I said to you several years ago, Jesus isn't looking for fans. He's looking for followers. Amen? Amen. Jesus doesn't have a fan club. Jesus said, I don't want fans. I need faithful followers. For there's only room for one king on the throne of your heart. Can't be money and be God. Because if it's money, then it can't be God. And when you and I place more value on things like money, it causes us to worry because we think that we've got to get more of it to take care of our needs instead of allowing God to take care of those needs for us. And we worry. Some of us lose sleep worrying about money. And believe it or not, people with money worry about money just as much as people who don't have money, which I find to be interesting. Sometimes I begin to worry, not about today, I'm thinking about tomorrow. And that's what Jesus is saying. Well, if you put your trust in me, you won't have to worry about tomorrow. Amen. Look at this quote by one of my favorite theologians, Warren Wiersbe. He says, most Christians are being crucified on a cross between two thieves. Isn't this a powerful statement? Yesterday's regret and what? Tomorrow's worries. Isn't that where many of us are? How many of you saw the story that came out in the news back in February where these two men found this wolf that was frozen in a pond and they rescued it? Anybody else see that? So they took this wolf and tried to resuscitate it, and they took it to the vet, and the vet began to clean it off, and the wolf woke up. And the reason why they rescued this wolf, these two men later said, they thought it was a dog. The vet, when he discovered that it was a wolf and not a dog, put the muzzle on the wolf because he knew what wolves like to do. They said, they showed pictures of it. They put the wolf in their car. They carried it in their arms, thinking it was a dog that needed help. But the vet said, have you lost your last mind? This is not a dog. Well, that's my version of it, okay? This is not a dog. Wolves, even the wolves of worry, will devour you. It will eat you from the inside out. And most of the things we worry on, in some form or fashion, are all linked and connected to money. This is why Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. In other words, God has made it clear with us as his followers that if we make his interest, listen to me, if we make the interest of God and the thing that God values first in our lives, then all this other stuff will come. All the other things we need will come. Didn't say everything you want in life, because everything you want, you don't need. But here's what hit me this morning as I was sitting at my desk around 5 o'clock. When you and I rob God, as Malachi chapter 3 says, by not returning faithfully our tithes and offerings, we rob God of the opportunity to demonstrate that he can be faithful. Because the issue is not about money. It's about faithfulness. And I say this to you just about every week. And the reason why I say it to you so often, because I'm not just trying to remind you, I'm trying to remind myself. God didn't ask me to be a success. God asked me to be faithful. And when you and I are not faithfully returning our tithes and offerings to God, here's the message we're sending God. We don't trust you. Yeah, you can take care of the birds of the air and all of that. But when it comes to me, I got to take care of myself. And that's why we worry so much. Because we're trying to do what God said he would do. So Malachi says, when you rob God of his tithe and offering, you're also robbing God of the opportunity to show up, as one Baptist preacher said, and show out. And I'm here to tell you as a witness, I've seen God show up and show out. And at the end of the day, the only thing I could say was, that's God. Because I should not have this. I should not be there. But God says, if you trust me by returning, it's not about money. Your money is your trust. If you give that to me, I'll show you what God can do. But if we're going to hold on to our money and think, oh, no, I'll just give God what I think he should have. God said 10% for a reason, because he's trying to teach trust. God said give an offering for a reason, because he's trying to teach trust and devotion. It's not about money. It's about whether you and I truly believe that God can take care of us. And I'm here today to tell you, not because of what I read, but because of the life that I lived, God can take care of you. If we're willing to place the things that makes God smile first and leave the rest for later. And what I've discovered in doing this series, The Battle for the Heart, is that the battle for the heart is also a battle of the heart. For there's a battle within. Jesus has made it clear. I can take care of you just like I take care of all my other creatures in this world. But if you will allow me to truly take care of you by returning faithfully your tithe and your offering, to expand my kingdom and not build up your kingdom, I will take care of you. And the wolves of worry will not be able to devour you, because when a person places his complete trust and faith in God, the last thing he or she will ever be doing is worrying. And worry, because we're human, we're frail, is our way of saying, God, I really don't trust you. And that's why giving is a spiritual discipline to build the kingdom and to help us develop complete faith and trust in God. And Jesus makes it clear, there's only room for one king on the throne of your heart. And it cannot be material things, because if it is, there's no room for him.
You've been listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, The Wolves of Worry. And if you want to listen again or share it with someone, you can find these messages on Apple Podcasts and also on Spotify. Or visit us online at simpletruthsforlife.com. Now here's what we're working on for next week.
But in our world today, in our culture, we spend most of our time, most of our resources, most of our money getting stuff.
Next week, Charles Tapp continues with the third part in the series, God versus Money, as we look to find answers that will help rid us of the obsession with stuff, with his message, The Seduction of Stuff. Well, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll plan to join us again next week for more Simple Truths for Life.
Find solace and community when we pray.
Two students from my school were on the plane that collided with the helicopter.
Join us for a night of prayer and encouragement for the families and communities affected by the recent tragedy near Reagan National Airport.
Tonight, from 6 to 8 p.m. at New Life La Plata.
With special guest Matt Maher.
Father, let your kingdom come.
No ticket is required, but please RSVP at WGTS919.com.